And I said, one of the things as well that business owners miss and don't necessarily consider is not just the impact that you have on your patients' life, it's the impact that you have on your staff's life. It's one of the most powerful things, one of the most powerful positions you'll ever be in as a business owner, is when you realize that you're responsible. Right now, we push the button every month on about 28 to 30 people's wages.
This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Becca here, bringing you today's special episode of the Paul Gough Audio Experience. As we get closer to our ultimate CEO competition this weekend, we are also getting closer to crowning our champion from the last event here on the podcast. In today's episode, we are flashing back to the 2019 competition in Orlando, Florida, as Paul explains the real reason why he hosts events like the Ultimate CEO competition, and the three finalists are put in the hot seat on stage answering questions from Paul himself. We even get a classic Paul-style rant, where Paul goes into detail about how important it is to shake the false beliefs that are in a business owner's head day to day. While this show plays, don't forget to head to paulsbigevent.com to get your tickets for this weekend's Ultimate CEO competition, where we are celebrating the success of some of the top clinic owners in the world. The first session starts at 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, March 6th, so you still have some time. Again, just head to paulsbigevent.com to get your seat and join us from the comfort of your own home.
Really, I'm always going to talk to you at the highest level of where I think your business and any business owner needs to be, which is at the strategic, much higher level. Every time you start getting sucked into tactical questions, you're going to stay there if you're not careful. Everything that we're doing at these events is about trying to elevate the way that you think and elevate the way that you see the problems and challenges that you've got. And talking to people last night, what I love about what you're achieving is that you're becoming more valuable. Even Fleming, a guy who I've worked with for 8 years, my website designer, nearly 10 years probably, spoke to me last night how the impact of just being around all of this has helped him just become more valuable in helping people, communicating better with people. Jonathan Rizik yesterday talking about how he was able to help out with a charity and improve their website and improve their marketing message. I've had people talk to me last night about the communication in their families, their relationships. We've had marriages hopefully improved and saved. I think the skills that you're getting are not just marketing and they're not just business, they're life. Business is just an extension of life. It isn't any different. We think that it is, that when we arrive, for some reason, we arrive at 9:30 in our offices, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever. We think we have to become somebody different. And by and large, many people do. And that's the problem. If most of you lived through the day and spoke to people through the day as you speak to your friends and your family of an evening, with the same confidence, with the same way of communicating with trying to get your outcomes that you want on a weekend or that you want of an evening, our businesses would be significantly better. So don't go to work and become somebody else. Be the best version of yourself. And that'll come from changing your thought processes. And it can only come with upgrading your network constantly. Constantly, constantly, constantly. How can I get in a room with people who have similar problems and similar challenges to me, but may have just figured this thing out? And the more that I go on my own journey, the more I realize that problems are not changing. Problems are not necessarily going away. I just see them differently. That's all it is. And if people regularly ask me, you seem like a quite a relaxed guy, and you know, you never seem frustrated, there's never any fluster, it's because of that. All I've ever done is figured out that most of this shit's gonna go on, but I'm in control of how I react to it. I'm in control of every single emotion, feeling. Might not like the situation sometimes, I might not agree with it, I might have an opinion on it, it might be something that I wasn't expecting, which is usually the actual case, but my ability to change what that means is what ultimately dictates how I feel and then ultimately how I react. And that is what I'm dedicated to in my own life, and hopefully I'm sharing some of that with you, that most of you are going to go on and be as successful and more successful with or without me. I just think you'll do it faster when you realize that you're in control of pretty much everything that you feel. And if you can't change the way you feel, you're fucked. You're giving away all of your power. You're giving away all of your energy. You're giving away all of your thoughts. The minute, we speak a lot about focus. Well, how do you get focused? Stop worrying about shit that's irrelevant. Well, how do you stop worrying about shit that's irrelevant? Change the meaning of it. That simple. It's all in your control. Everything. And the minute that you start to spend half an hour, 45 minutes, 60 minutes in your office worrying about something trivial, worrying about another thing that is just not important, the actual thing is not going to kill you as much as worrying about the thing or thinking about the thing. And that's a lesson for us all in life. The problem that you run into in your life isn't actually the problem. The fact that Harry doesn't clean his room when he's told to do it isn't necessarily the problem. The issue is that you think he's ignoring you and he's being disrespectful and he's being not, he's not doing what you want him to do. And you take that personally, or me or Natalie could take that personally. The issue is not necessarily that there's toys on the floor. Now the issue is that he's not listening to us. And we take that personally. And then you start to fight that. And then you start to question yourself. And then you start to question all of the things you've done for your kids. And before you know it, an hour later, you're still pissed about Buddy Woody on the floor. Like, who cares? Yeah, it's important that they learn that discipline. But I'm trying to point out to you that where you're giving away your focus and your time is in the things that come after, the things that come next. And as business owners, as people, as husbands, wife, kids, whatever, that's where I think you've got to recognize it. We're not here to be better businesses or better business people. Ultimately, we're here to be better people. Better people will have better businesses, I promise you. Get better people in your team. The minute that you start to step up, the minute that you start to live like this, you become a magnet for people who want to hang around with you. You just are. You become something that nobody else in their life behaves like. You live with a certain level of confidence. You live with a certain level of certainty in your life, and people want that. That now more than ever, in this crappy, negative, skeptical, bullshit world of media and all of the stuff that's fake and all of the stuff that's getting bombarded at you on a daily basis with that thing in your hand, is creating more skepticism, more doubt, more uncertainty, and more fear. People are getting sucked there. You've got to go the complete opposite way and adopt that way of living in your life and take that to work. Don't go to work and be somebody and then come home and be somebody else. I would speak like this in my house. I'd speak like this to anybody who wants to talk like it. I'll speak like this with Natalie. I'll speak like this with my sister if she ever wants to listen. If my brother ever wants to listen, I'd speak like this. But the reality is they don't. But if they ever do, I'll have the conversation with them. But I'm not going to change the way that I am. So a little kickoff. So let's get our 9 finalists. Where are we at? Let's see if we can find a winner this morning. 9 finalists, let's get you up, please. Music, please, Cameron. 9 finalists. Up to the please, where's Sophie? Is she there? Sophie, can you bring that up for me? Thank you. All right, big round of applause again for everybody on the stage. 9 finalists. So we've got 9 finalists, and we're going to turn this into 3. And then we're going to re-vote. It's going to be elimination right now. And then we're going to hand out a piece of paper again for you to vote for one of the 3 that is left standing on the stage. So, in no particular order, I'm going to stand back here just so that none of you can see any of this. Returning for another week on American Idol. Christine. Nick. Ryan. All right, so we've got our final 3. So we've got our final three. Let's say thank you and goodbye to the other six. Please try again next year. Please. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. So, for the other six, you obviously have an opportunity to come back here again next year, assuming that you re-enroll in CEO. So, great. Thank you. All checks made payable too. No, I'm joking. Right, so we got three. Have a seat. Let's relax. Everybody, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Simon, we need your microphone, please. Have we got the runner's mic? Where's the runner's mic? Here we go. That's the one we need. So, we've got three. There's a piece of paper on your tables. Everybody got it? We handed that out, Sophie? Yeah, so, I want you to pick. Yeah, you're just going to write it down. There should be a piece of paper, just literally. There's a small. This front table hasn't got it, but just write it down on the piece of paper. You should all have a small little card that you can just write the name of the person that you want to be the winner of the Ultimate CEO Competition 2019. So we're going to do 15 minutes. I'm going to give everybody 5 minutes just to talk. Nick, I'll come to you first just to give you a couple of minutes heads up. Just talk to us about your one thing. Just what's the one thing that you have learned over the last 12 months that you would want all businesses to know, whether it's a mistake, whether it's just a lesson you've learned, whether it's just a change in the way you're thinking. Just give us 5 minutes each while people make their vote and we count them that would just knock over a challenge or something that somebody's living with right now in this room. Are we on? We're on. 5 minutes each.
I would have to say that it was a story that I was telling Nick last night when we were speaking, and my 13-year-old was noticing that I was home more in the morning and was able to spend time with them. And he says, "Dad, you don't have to go to work anymore at 7? And I said, "No, I can go in when I want to." And he says, "Well, are you not working as much? Are we doing okay?" And I said, "Yeah, actually we're doing fine. We have people there right now that are working for us and they're seeing patients." And he looks at me and kind of smiles. That's pretty cool. And I was like, "Yeah, it's pretty amazing actually. Just to have the freedom, have that, the ability to go past what you originally thought wasn't possible, to break through that ceiling that I'm only making money when I'm on the clock, when I'm seeing patients, to be able to break through that mold and understand that there's so much more available. There's so much more to it as you create and you design than just what you originally may have thought when you're in PT school or when you have those self-limiting beliefs that are restraining you and holding you down. To see it through the eyes of a 13-year-old was very revealing to me.
I guess just to piggyback off of what Nick is saying about self-limiting beliefs, that was the biggest thing that held me back. And as I discussed yesterday, I never thought that I would have to change as much as I did to achieve the outcome that I want to achieve. And overcoming that was the most challenging, but the best thing that I could have ever done. And I think that it takes a lot of self-reflection and vulnerability to be able to look at yourself and be like, well, if I want to get somewhere, if you have a goal in mind, having the openness to really understand what that's going to take out of you and what you're going to have to sacrifice and what you're going to have to push through to get there. That was definitely my biggest thing. And, you know, the self-limiting beliefs of not being able to raise my rates on these clients and attaching my self-worth and my everything to what these parents were going to think of me, and lifting that weight and guilt off of myself to not carry around anymore, that if the parent isn't going to make the decision for the child, then that's not my burden to carry around, and letting go of that. And we'll all have different things. Obviously, not everyone in here has that same situation, but we all have things that we're carrying around with us, and it's so important to be able to overcome those things to be able to get to where we want to get. We're all in this room because we want to grow, we want to do something, we all want to achieve something, and you're going to have to push through some really challenging things to get there.
I guess the one thing for me that I didn't really get to talk about yesterday was just developing as a leader. And one of the big breakthroughs that came for me this year was, I think, you know, Paul's talked about this before, but it was sometime at the beginning of last year that it kind of hit home with me to strive to be respected rather than liked. And I wanted to be friends with all of my staff, and I wanted everyone to like me, and I wanted to be the best boss in the world, and I found myself just tolerating a lot of crap, right? And this year, I think I was forced into it a little bit, but I just had to hold people more accountable because I wasn't around, and being able to not worry about what they thought of me as a person, and that they would just strive to be respected by them, gave me the confidence that I could lead the team and give them the tools that they needed to continue to run the business in my absence during the personal struggles this year. So,
What's the biggest mindset shift you think you've had this year?
Man, the biggest. Kind of tough to narrow down entirely, but I would absolutely say that the biggest mindset shift I've had to make is the idea that I'm not creative, the idea that that I'm analytical, or that I don't have the power to design something that is of value. Or when I look at it now, the fact that I've created this business, I've created jobs, I've created an environment where people are able to live free and independent from painkillers, avoid surgery, and ultimately be independent. This is a design that I've created. Much like an artist leaves something that has permanence, the fact that we've built in structures that are documenting the journey that we're on, whether through our marketing message, the social media content, the videos that we produce, all these things are that tapestry. They are that mosaic that is there for people to either see as valuable and brilliant that it is, or not. And the more that we draw out those who appreciate what we do, the more valuable they see us, the more that we're able to make more money.
Christine?
I feel like that's all I really talked about, but my biggest mindset shift was that I finally believed that I was doing this for them and not to them. And the underlying things around that were, again, the self-limiting beliefs, and that I'm overseeing this bigger vision to overcome all of the really tough stuff underneath it, and staying big picture and staying up and understanding the bigger picture always will allow me to overcome these things underneath way better.
Something's always going to have to pull you up in business. I'll come to Ryan in a second. We've got two very similar ideas there, and I think it's important for you to understand what they're saying. I was talking to Lynn yesterday at lunch, and she said, I was always on the path of wanting to be a great clinician, and I want to help as many people as I can with my skills. And she said, it's finally starting to drop now that I can actually have more impact on people if I create a business. I can impact, instead of 20 patients a week, I can impact potentially 200 patients a week. And I said, one of the things as well that business owners miss and don't necessarily consider is not just the impact that you have on your patients' life, it's the impact that you have on your staff's life. It's one of the most powerful things, one of the most powerful positions you'll ever be in as a business owner, is when you realize that you're responsible. Right now, we push the button every month on about 28 to 30 people's wages. And then you think, all right, well, that's not just 30 people. Most of them have got kids. And now I'm responsible for another 20, 30 people there. And they've all got, you know, husbands, wives, whatever, their wages and their environment that they're working in every day affects how that relationship plays out on a night. And it's true. When you really stop and think about the impact that a business owner has, I just think some of you are playing small fry by thinking that you are having more impact by only seeing 20 people a week. and thinking that that's the best you can do. Now, if that's what you want, then great. But I'm trying to help you see it from a much bigger angle, literally 10x, like from 100x bigger point of view, because that's usually what gets you through the shitty times. That's usually what gets you through the, what the fuck is the point of all of this? And it's got to be something bigger than yourself. It's difficult just to do this for yourself. That, I think that gets you started and that gets you off. But to keep moving, to keep getting the courage to get out of bed every day and fight the fight, take the shit, take the hassle, it's got to be attached to a higher, bigger purpose that will expand past just you and the number of patients that you treat. When you start to realize that you want to create something that, like, we've got Weave here today and Infusionsoft, right? I said to these, I'm excited for you. I want you to win. I want you to make a shitload of money. I want you to win. I want you to go back to your boss on Monday and tell him that you smashed this event. I want you to get the biggest fucking bonus you can get. I want you to go home and then to your wife, your husband, whoever, and spend the fucking money that you've earned this weekend. That's the mindset that you need. This is much bigger when you start to think like that. That's the energy. There's the courage. There's the thing that you're going to need to get through. The hassle, another person quitting, another person fucking letting you down, another person who won't do the scorecard, another fucking insurance company that drops your rates. You cannot stay at that level. To get through all of this, you've signed up for complete and utter madness for the rest of your life. You've sentenced yourself to hell, right, by starting a business. You're a freak by nature. You will live a complete unpredictable life. You will deal with hassle and shit. You'll be stood in the line at Disneyland, and your family will think that you're thinking about Splash fucking Mountain, and you're not. You're thinking about your Facebook ad that's not fucking working right now. Like, that's the reality. But that's what you have to learn to live with. You learn to compartmentalize it. Don't fight it. I'll figure out how to do it. And as it gets bigger and bigger, I'll figure that out. You have to tie it to a much bigger, higher purpose of what you're wanting to achieve. I love the fact that my staff are here having a great time. I'm over the moon that Cameron hasn't been in any single night over the last 7 days and is exploring his options, shall we call it. I'm all in favor of that. I mean, you go fill your boots, do whatever you want. Have a good time. But we're making a lot of people happy. Collectively, I'm responsible for more people on Tinder in Orlando right now. Tinder shares are going through the roof right now because some of my staff are enjoying the tropicalness of different people that they can find in the UK right now. So, anyway, sorry. It was just going good there as well, wasn't it? It was just getting deep and meaningful and serious. But you get my point. You're going to have attached to this something much, much higher if you want to get through it. If you want to get through all of the crap that's going to be chucked at you, you must see this from a bigger point of view. Realize the potential that you've got as individuals who, on the face of it, run a PT business that helps patients. I'm encouraging you to think about all of the lives that you really impact, staff included. The fun that they can have, the environment that you create at work for them, and the culture that you allow, or tolerate is the right word, dictates largely many of the relationships that your staff will have. They don't know that, and they don't understand that, but it's true. You're having a shitty time at work, you'll have a shitty time at home, by and large, in the end. It's just not possible for that not to happen. So start to think of it like that. Ryan, mindset shift.
I mean, I think I already talked about it as far as wanting to be respected instead of liked. But I guess number two would be adopting the mindset of being a liberator. I think my ego kind of thrived on saving the day, and or just me being impatient and say it's just easier if I jump in and do it. And you just can't. You can't do it all, especially when things are going crazy. So just being able to support your staff and just ask them better questions. What do you think needs to happen to improve? You know, where do you see the problems? You know, give me three options and come back to it and we can discuss it. That's really hard for me because it's just so much easier to just like jump in and do it. And then at the same time, training and coaching my operations manager to adopt the same mindset, because he's the same as me and wants to jump in and save the day. And he's getting to the point where we're getting to the number of staff that he can't jump in and save the day anymore because his time is too valuable. And so being able to really understand that, adopt that, and then teach that to one of the leaders on the team has been very beneficial for me.
I think the belief pattern is a thing that we all have to change. We're all pre-programmed, if you like, with false beliefs. You are. You're pre-programmed. Go study it. You're pre-programmed with false beliefs. This thing that you've got called a brain is not designed to keep you happy. It's not designed to make you rich. It's not designed to do all of the things that you're being allowed to believe that it will just do naturally without reading the instruction book. It's designed to keep you safe. That's all it does. It's designed to keep you alive. In every minute of every day, your brain and the ego that Ryan talks about there, it's doing its job when it picks up on fear. It's doing its job when it picks up on situations that it thinks is scary. It thinks that it's going to lead to an end of life for you. And it starts with understanding that most of the situations that you're in are just false beliefs. That years and years and years ago, many of the things that we think today were relevant. They did keep you out of trouble. They did keep you away from lions and tigers and shit that roamed the world, that allowed the human race to continue. And that's all it is. That you're often conditioned by people around you who will tell you their false beliefs that, you know, when you run a business, you have to work 18 hours a day. And when you run a business, you can't leave it. And when you run a business, people will rob from you. And when you run a business, everybody's bad and everybody will steal from you. And it's a shitty world out there and they're all out to get you. It fucking isn't. It isn't. Somebody else's world might be like that. But it don't have to be yours. You actually manifest all of that. You create all of that when you start to see the world that way. Somebody wants to rob from you? Let them. It's their fucking issue. I'm not saying fucking open your bank accounts and let people, you know, dip in. But what I'm saying is don't see the world as bad. Constantly. Don't see every single person as being bad or inherently out to get you, because they're not. The right people will come in and help you, will come in and support you. Therefore, your job is to find them. And they're out there, if you look. And if you change your beliefs around what all of this is about, all of these people start to come into your life because they're desperate for somebody to back, desperate. Look at what's going on in governments. It's fucking crazy right now. Nobody has a clue what they're fucking voting for in any of this shit. Nobody really understands what they're voting for. Brexit, Trump, Warren. Like, you actually sit down and ask any of these people what they're voting for, they don't know. It'll be some catchy slogan that they've seen on fucking CNN enough times that registers with them. But they don't really know what they're voting for. But what they're looking for is somebody to back, somebody to get behind. This is what you can learn from all of these situations, from these movements. Don't read into the politics of it. Don't read into the tactical aspect of it all. Just understand what's going on. People are desperate to get behind Trump or Warren or Johnson or Brexit or whatever. They want somebody. They want somebody to believe in. Why is that not you? Why is that not you? All of that stuff that's going on, by and large, it's irrelevant in your life. If most of you switched the news off, switched off Facebook, I wouldn't have a clue if I was fucking in Europe, out of Europe, if Trump was president, if Warren was president, if fucking Obama was president. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't have a clue. Most of us don't need to watch the news, yet we fucking watch it. There's another stabbing. There's another killing. There's another whatever's gone on. You don't need to know it. There's the distractions in your life. Get clear. I live in a beautiful world. All I see is fucking Mickey Mouse. That's it. You laugh. But it's by design. What would I rather do? Why would I not want to go to a place where people laugh, giggle, smile, are happy, treat me amazingly well, make me feel good every single time I go? Why would I not want to go there 3 times a week? People ask, you go to Disney 3 times a week? I'm like, yeah. They're like, are you crazy? I'm like, you're crazy for not. You watch the fucking news every night. You think I'm stupid? I'd rather watch those fucking fireworks over that castle every single night for the rest of my life. It's better than watching the fucking news at 10 o'clock every single night for the rest of your life. Oh, we're in. It's just getting going there. Oh, is that just cut him off before he starts? Cut him off. It's not even a proper vote now. It's just fucking get these over the line. But there's a common theme here in all of our lives. It's beliefs, false beliefs. False beliefs are killing you. You're going to live somebody else's life, by and large, passed on. And I think I'll finish it off. I believe personally that this phase right now that we're in life, if you really study it, 50, 60, 70 years ago, my grandma and granddad, Rose and George, they had it tough. They had it really hard, right? They didn't have many options. They didn't have any choices. The world appeared to be a bad place, and it did. All they read was the news. It's all they had. They didn't have access to information. They didn't really have a world view of, you know, what was going on in a bigger picture. That kind of gets slightly diluted when it gets passed to my mother and father. But they're confused now because they've heard that everything's bad, everything's negative, everything's out to get you. You have to work hard. You can't leave your job. You've got to get a retirement fund. They're semi-breaking away from... So Alison, my mom, she's kind of breaking away from Rose's and George's original beliefs. And then it kind of comes to us. And it's like, all right, well, definitely now it is a different place than 50, 60, 70 years ago. But still, many of us are living with the beliefs that have been passed on to us through parents and grandparents. Well-meaning, by the way, and I'm not being disrespectful with any of it. Well-meaning. I just think it's time that we woke up and went, you know what, this is a great time. There is access to information. When I hear about kids, oh, my son doesn't know what to do. I'm like, fuck, there's just no opportunity for them these days. What planet are you living on? Are you on Mars? Where do you start is the problem. They don't know how to choose is the problem. Nobody teaches them how to prioritize. Nobody teaches them how to get in a lane and fucking stick in it till you win. Not options. Oh, my son's at college. Why? He's keeping his options open. He's 40 fucking 7 though. That's the problem. Like, he's been keeping his options open since he was 18. He's got $500,000 in debt from his student loan. That's the problems. And we're all allowing it. Every one of you is having those types of, oh, I'm keeping my options open. My kids are keeping their options open. What's your son doing? He's keeping his options open. Options, options, options. Make a fucking choice. Get in a lane and stick in it. Figure it out. Whatever it takes. There's books out there. There's podcasts. There's conferences and seminars. My God, you could spend some money. You could spend... While I'm on one. I said to my brother a few years ago, he got $2,000 given to him unexpectedly. He said, what would you do? I said, I'd buy a course. He said, what on? I said, I'd buy it on how to sell and make a shitload of money on Amazon. If I was starting out right now and I had nothing behind me, no qualifications, I had no skill, if you like a PT, I said, I'd figure out Amazon. Why? Because every fucker's on it, spending money. Just get in the way of it. Just learn how to do it. I said, there's a guy who I know, sells a course, it's $2,000. I can get it for you if you want. No, I'll have a car. Why are you having a car? Oh, well, I need to get around town. Do you? Well, can you not get on your bike? You don't walk? Why don't you get a job and get a bike? Save some money up for a year. While this Amazon thing kicks in a year, buy yourself a fucking brand new BMW. No, I'll just spend it on a car. All right, that's what you want. Good for you. But he's playing safe. It's just a false belief. Because probably my mother told him it was a good investment. Investment. Fuck. No wonder we're all screwed with money. When we're being told by parents that, invest in a car. My sister invests in clothes every fucking weekend. It's all up here. Everything. The good news, it's all up here. The bad news, it's all up here. The good news, you're in control of it. The bad news, you're in control of it. It's you. That's the best news. That's the only news you need. Don't need to put CNN on to figure that out. I better bash Fox just in case I'm coming across as liberal. I'm not. I'm vote for myself. for a long time forward. If I want a good laugh, I put them stations on. If I've had a bad day and I'm not in a good mood, me and Natalie have had another fight, I'll put Fox on, and that usually makes me laugh. And then I'll put CNN on just to see the exact same thing that they've said, but the complete opposite way, and then that makes me laugh, and that usually sends me to bed quite happy, so these days. Anyway, right, it's enough of me waxing lyrical. The belief patterns, it's all up to you, all of this. Choose wisely what you'll focus on, what you'll spend your time on. Choose wisely whose time you choose to keep your company with and whose advice you'll dispense. I heard it yesterday or Friday at an event I was at. Only take advice from somebody you'd swap places with. Great phrase. Only take advice from somebody you would swap places with. Which again, what's the false belief? Because somebody's been on the planet for longer than you, that you have to respect them. And that, I get that, I respect every human being. But the problem is, a false belief for a lot of people is that because somebody's been on the planet for 50 years longer, that they know more. And you still start asking people, oh, I'll ask my uncle so-and-so, he's 40 years older than me. Great, he's probably just made more mistakes. Only take advice from somebody that you would swap places with in that particular situation that you're asking them about. Right, let's get going. Let's do this. Oh. Who wants to know? Do you want to know?
Yeah.
It would be nice. Okay. Right after these commercials. We'll be right back. Right. Let's get going. Stand on your feet. Let's get all three. Round of applause for our three. All right, can we get our other CEOs, please? We've got some confetti. We've got all sorts of stuff that we're going to be popping and spraying and champagne and various things. Have we got it? Everybody got one? All right. Do you want to come to the middle, please? Please, stand in the middle. Stand in the middle. No peeking. Where's the other CEOs? Can we get the other CEOs down, please? Please, don't be firing these in anybody's eyes. We're not insured at this point for these things. So, did they all sign disclaimers for this? Come on, you need to hold hands. All right. In third place of the Ultimate CEO Competition 2019 is Christine. Round of applause. Third place, Christine. Slightly premature, Paul, Carrie, whoever popped that out. Annie. Thank you. Can we give Christina a round of applause there, please? Well done. All right. The votes have been counted and verified. And the winner of the Ultimate CEO Competition 2019 is...
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.